Well, once again, good morning, church. He is risen. And we have I just want to say thank you for getting up early. Thank you for being here. We've got a wonderful service plan. Just a wonderful morning after our sunrise service. We've got breakfast down at the other end and then a cantata service after this. But since you got up early, I'm going to share with you a little something because you get a little bit of a treat for getting up early. So, I mean, Easter morning, I get pretty pumped. It's a pretty awesome day. So I got up early this morning, and I'm going to go. I'm going to kind of get refreshed and get ready to preach. I go over to the gym, and nobody's ever there. Sunday mornings, nobody's there at the time I'm there. So I've got my headphones in. I mean, I'm praising. I am singing top of my lungs. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in the back room because the acoustics back there are better. It just makes you a better singer, okay? There's science behind it. So I'm back there, and I'm just belting it out. Praising the Lord. And I kind of peek through the door, and I see a lady come in. And she walks in, takes two steps, and immediately walks right out. So I'm like, all right, Lord, well, hey, make a joyful noise, and that's what I did. But it scared some people away. Well, that's all right. Hey, we're continuing our finishing out our Easter series this morning, the Passion Narrative of Jesus Christ, through the greatest story ever told. And today's, this morning's message, Our King Resurrected. We started last Sunday, saw Jesus revealed as he rides into Jerusalem, revealing himself as the promised Messiah King, fulfilling the Old Testament scripture. And as he does, the people are excited, they're praising the Lord, they're cutting off branches, throwing garments on the ground. And then as we looked at Friday evening, our King, even though he's revealed, only took a few days and he's rejected. He's rejected, he's betrayed, he's denied, he's accused, he's mocked, he's sentenced to death. He gives up his life, willingly gives up his spirit into the Father's hands. But this morning we've got good news that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is risen, our King is resurrected. We're going to see exactly, amen, praise the Lord. We are going to see exactly what that means for believers. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen. The word of the Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men standing by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how we told you that while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe. But Peter rose, and he ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we're in such awe and wonder and praise for who you are. Lord, for your omniscience, your omnipotence, your omnipresence, your sovereignty. And Lord, the power to defeat the grave, to conquer sin, to conquer death. Father, we pray as we dive into your word and we look at our resurrected King, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that it would stir up in our hearts a passion, a praise, a love that lasts forever, that would bring life change, that would bring new life, eternal life, abundant life. And Father, for your sons and daughters here this morning, pray as we look into it, God, that you would do that work that only you can do. God, that we'd see you as a King who is not put away, who's not a martyr, but one who is living, who still brings life change, who still brings purpose, who still brings love, who still breaks chains. And Lord, we pray your will would be done, your Holy Spirit would reign here this morning, We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, as we read that account from the gospel writer Luke there, he just shows us right off the bat what they expected. As they travel to that tomb in the early morning, they fully expect a dead Jesus. A Jesus who's still wrapped in linen cloths in that tomb, and they're going to anoint his body with spices. But man, did they get a surprise. Remember, we said, put ourselves in this story. We walk over that hill, and we're ready, probably thinking in our minds, what am I going to do? How are we going to continue on? Jesus is dead. He's died on that cross. He's in that tomb. What do we do without our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah? How do we carry on? And as they approach, and that sun's coming up, that stone's rolled away. Not only that, but the tomb is empty. And then there's angels saying, well, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is alive. And as they go tell the rest of the disciples, they don't believe it. It says they see it as an idle tale. It was a fallacy. It was something that wasn't true. Couldn't be. But as Peter goes, he can't even contain himself. He runs. And he looks in. Linen cloths laying there. He goes from mourning to marveling. And that's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ does. It makes us marvel. It takes those who are sad and who are sorrowful, who are broken sinners, and it saves us by his grace. And it brings us into these marvelous, wonderful, praising sons and daughters of the Most High King. But I want us to see three things real quick before we end our sunrise service as we look at our resurrected King, because as we dive into this text, it really shows us some awesome truths. And as we looked at our King, we see that the Messiah King come not only to die, but to live. Came not only to die, but to live. See, because if that tomb were still filled, he'd be a martyr. He'd be a great person who showed us how to model our lives. But it's empty. And he's not dead. He is risen. He is alive. It confirms his deity. It confirms his messiahship. It confirms all of his teaching. Because what did the angels have to remind the disciples there as they're at the tomb? He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He's told you about this. And he told the disciples about it in Luke 18, verses 31 through 33. It said, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to Gentiles, be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise.'" Church, Jesus kept his promise. He is trustworthy. He told us that he's a king that came not only to die, but to live. And it's the center point, the foundation of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is trustworthy. And we see that not only is his resurrection trustworthy, but when we look at the trustworthiness of Jesus, so much he promises in his word. Because he paid that price, because he rose from the grave, he promises forgiveness. He promises new life. He promises redemption and reconciliation. He promises the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which then brings promises of the fruit of the Spirit, which brings promises of spiritual giftings, which brings promises of strength, of peace, of comfort, that he is our stronghold. He is our fortress. He is the rock in which we build our lives. And because he held to his promise of his resurrection, we can trust all those things that he tells us in his word. What a worthy king who is worthy of all of our praise. He came not only to die, but to live. And as we see this, that not only did he come to die, but to live, and that he's fully trustworthy, that through his life, death, and resurrection, the Messiah King inaugurated the kingdom. He inaugurated the kingdom, meaning the kingdom of God was at hand. It had begun. It started. And this is something Jesus preached from the beginning of his ministry. We see it in Mark chapter 1, in verses 14 and 15, when he says, "Now after John was erected, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The kingdom of God has become a realization. The kingdom of God being the place where God rules and reigns. And now because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we are promised new life. We are promised forgiveness of sin. And God rules and reigns over and in the hearts of his sons and daughters. This kingdom has started. And we know his kingdom is not of this world, but what would be a king without a kingdom? And as we gather here this morning, we truly see this kingdom reign. That as if you've repented of your sin, put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are that kingdom. You are a living example of the kingdom of God. But I want us to bring this back to the resurrection. Because just as death would not defeat Jesus, this is exactly what the Pharisees wanted, what they thought had happened, the same thing with the Romans. Even Satan himself thought he had stomped out Jesus. That through that rejection, he is done. It's over. That plan that God had to redeem his people, no more. But it was the exact opposite. Death defeated, sin conquered, kingdom reign started in the hearts of God's children. And church, this kingdom that was inaugurated, it continues to advance. This is something we're looking at as a church all throughout this year of knowing, growing, and going. As God rules in and over our hearts, the kingdom of God continues to move forward. It continues to move forward. It's not going to be stopped. It's going to advance through persecution, through trials, through testings. And people are going to continue to come into this kingdom. Because soon as the last is called, we're going home. But Jesus did not just come to start a kingdom without finishing it. Just as we see that the Messiah King came not only to die, but to live, the Messiah King has inaugurated the kingdom, the Messiah King will consummate the kingdom. Meaning that one day every detail will be complete and his kingdom ready. That our King, because he lives, he is coming back. Because he is risen, we await the day to where the King returns. And just as we saw that the King came in peace as he was revealed, as he rode into Jerusalem, he didn't set up that earthly throne. He didn't expel Rome from Jerusalem. He came in peace to reconcile people, to redeem sinners. But when he comes to consummate his kingdom, sin will be dealt with. Satan will be dealt with. And our King will reign forever. Let's look at Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Just as Jesus promised his resurrection, and he held good on his promise, that he always does, he never falls short, the things he promises do come. He promises his second coming. He promises to call his church home. He promises that tribulation, but he promises to cast Satan into the pit of hell for eternity. He promises to judge sin once and for all. And he promises this new heaven, this new earth comes down, and it's a perfect kingdom. No more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, no more mourning. King Jesus reigns forever. Church, he comes back. He finishes the kingdom he started. And we can hold to that promise. And as we do, we said, this is the greatest story ever told. We kind of left you with a cliffhanger a little bit. We talked about Christ being revealed, the Messiah King being revealed, being rejected, being resurrected. But don't forget that the King is returning. We praise on Easter morning. We praise every Sunday for a risen King. But church, don't forget that that King is coming back. This is the greatest story ever told because it brings life. It's true. It brings forgiveness of sin. It brings that new life, that eternal life. But all throughout this, we said, place yourself in that story. So as we eagerly await, we're on this side of the resurrection. We wait for that returning. Where are you at in the story? I can only speak for myself. I only know where I'm at before the Lord. And when he comes back, I'm coming with him. That I've turned from my sin. I'm not perfect by any means. But I've turned from my sin and placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That he paid that debt on the cross for my sin. He took my place. He took your place. Bloodshed, body broken, giving up his life. Going into that tomb. And as we read this morning, he is risen. I've given my life to him. I said, "Jesus, you are my Lord. I believe in the resurrection. He's forgiven me of my sin. I know I'm born again. One day I'm going to be called home and I'm coming back with King Jesus." But I ask you, in your own personal story, are you coming back on the right side? Is just as he is risen, he is returning. And we praise him for being revealed, rejected, resurrected, and coming again. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so thankful. Lord, I don't know if we could ever truly praise you enough, pray enough, sing enough, hit our knees enough to truly show how worthy you are. Father, I'm so thankful that you still have the power not only to conquer the grave, but to change every buddy's personal story. That through your own story, the greatest story ever told, you want to bring people into it. You want to bring them into the fold, into that kingdom that has been started but will be finished in the future. Lord, I pray for those who call you King, who've given their lives over to you, that we would not forget to be ready as we wait. You tell us to be those good servants who are eagerly awaiting but continuing to do the work of the ministry and sharing the gospel and preaching the word and teaching the next generation, because we don't know the day or the hour, but we wait with attentiveness. Lord, I pray for anybody who's in here whose story hasn't been changed yet, who maybe is still seeing you as revealed but is rejecting. Lord, I pray that your resurrection would open their eyes. Yeah, you do have the power to change lives. You do have the power to forgive sin. You do have the power to bring new life. You do have the power to promise eternal life and a life abundant and purpose and peace and comfort. And if that's you this morning, let the Lord change your story. Sing praise with us for a risen King who still saves. Father, we just thank you for your continued word. We pray that as we continue this morning, that it would be a blessing, that everything we do would glorify you, that you'd get all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, church. We're going to worship one last time.
Walks with me along life's narrow way.